All right, this is Al Vins. Welcome to episode 35 of the Al and Josh Show. Got my good friend Josh Raymond here in Studio 2. How you doing, Josh?
Al, I couldn't be better. Happy to be back in good old Studio 2 here, just a week after episode 34, right?
Yep.
We had a couple questions on Twitter. Joel LaRoe is a pretty avid listener. He wants to know a little bit more about Studio 1. We'll have to get to that another day, though.
Yeah, that'll be a follow-up here. And maybe Studio 3 will happen with full video capabilities at some point, right?
We're working on that. It's in the plans.
All right. So, hey, what do we – only 1 week after our last episode, Josh, we got to have something special planned here. What do we got going on?
Well, on today's episode, we have a guest who's covered the news in the Twin Cities for 25 years at Care 11. He was spent about 10 years in the Care 11 sports department before moving to the morning anchor on the Sunrise show. He's covered the national duels, the NCAAs, and even the Olympic Games, I think twice, while also making time to report on high school results like very few other mainstream media outlets would. It didn't matter if it was Foley versus Malacca, Apple Valley versus Simley, or even an individual winning a state championship. Today's guest would consistently take the time to help keep the Minnesota wrestling community in the loop. Now he is spending his time to trying to help keep wrestlers and other students safe on and off the mat. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present you Tim McNiff.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. How you doing tonight, Tim?
Well, this is great. I am so pumped to do this, and thank you. Full disclosure, you guys, they didn't pursue me. I begged to come on this show. That is the truth.
That is the truth. When I went to check my email and I saw I had an email from you, Tim, I was, I'll be honest, I was taken back a little bit. And I actually thought maybe it was like spam or something.
Tim, how long after you emailed Josh before you got a response?
Oh, more than a month, I think, right?
Yeah, yes. Josh, so just so people know, when we say to DM or text or whatever, that's with Josh, it's definitely the right way to do it. Send a text, and if you don't have his number, you can find somebody who does, because he's not real good with email. So anyway, Josh let me know that you'd contacted him, and we talked a little off air. Your name came up right after Minnesota was announced as a host for the 2020 NCAA Division I Wrestling Championships that unfortunately didn't happen.
Right. But
your name came up as a huge mainstream media supporter and a guy we wanted to work with, to help get the word out and pump that event up. Unfortunately, everything went sideways on us, but yeah. So yeah, we're super happy to have you on, Tim.
I'm super happy to be here. You know, it's one of those things that I was working in the sports department at CARE, and I always tried to really cover as many of the sports as I could. My thing was, I was like, if you're ever going to run into me, sports is the most important, unimportant thing there is. And that means when you run into me somewhere, you're going to ask me a question about your sport. And if I can't answer that question, or at least give you a reasonable answer, I've lost all credibility. So I really worked hard, and it was a labor of love, you know, to stay up on these sports. What happened was Iowa had this really long dual meet unbeaten string in the Big Ten. And they're wrestling the Gophers on a Friday night, and I'm filling in for Randy Shaver. And I'm, you know, feel like I'm still pretty new at this. And the Gophers end up winning. I think Shelton Benjamin was the heavyweight and wins a match, and we snap Iowa's streak. And it goes from my last story in the sportscast to the first story in the sportscast. There's nothing else happening that night. And so I go out there, and I'm all excited. Now, you know, Paul Majors is the news anchor at the time. This is a guy who's pulling down more than $1 million, you know, back in the 90s here in the Twin Cities. So he's a pretty big deal. Whoa. And you want to be you want to do a good job almost more for him than, like, the news director or anything like that, because Paul's probably got more sway.
Right.
So I do the story and I do the whole thing, and we go to commercial break, and he turns to me, he turns his head, and he says, you know, in all the time that I've been here, I don't think we've ever led with wrestling. And I got that gulp, you know, sort of thing. And he falls, he goes, that was really cool. And I was like, I start to, you know, break the sweat, you know, relief, you know, but So then I get off the set and I go back and they go, hey, you have a call. And this used to happen. People would call, you get off, and usually they're not calling you to tell you they're happy with you.
Right.
So it's an Iowa fan and he's giving me stuff saying, you know, yeah, you think that's a big deal. We have this many titles and stuff. So I'm taking him for a bit. And then I start to throw it back. I go, yeah, but this is the end, buddy. You can see the cliff from here. You're going right over the edge. You're still in Iowa City. I go, we're in freaking Minneapolis. Where's the kid going to want to go to school? I go, it's over. It's over. And I hung up on the guy. And I thought of that guy so many times through the years when the Gophers started to ascend where they were like challenging the Hawkeyes. And then when we had kind of finally ascended the throne for that brief and wonderful time when we had the, the dominant program in NCAA wrestling. And then, of course, Kill gets the job at Penn State and everything shifts.
Right. Yeah. That's it. Tell you what, man, you brought goosebumps back there when we beat Iowa that first time for that first Big Ten. That was it like first time, like 25 years.
It was a crazy streak. And that's why I said, this can't be my last, because I'll be honest, I expected they would lose. So I had it one of my last stories or my last story, whatever it was. And when they won, I'm like, cripe, they won. Well, that's going to be my lead. Yeah, nobody else touched it that night. 459, not a word on right. it. And it was no. cool because the paper ran kind of a more extended story on like Sunday or something and had a picture of Shelton Benjamin and the, getting up or something and the crowd going crazy. And I said to my wife, I go, 2 days after we had it, I go, we're the only ones that had it that night. And I go, it may not matter to a lot of people, but to the people it mattered to, it mattered a whole lot.
And those people still remember that to this day. Wrestling people have memories like elephants, for good and bad memories, right? They stick together and they remember things for a long time.
So on that note, just to show you how true that is, last year I wanted to do a story on the Gophers created a night where they had Brock Lesnar come in.
Yeah.
And I covered the very first time Brock wrestled for the Gophers. It was, I can't remember what tournament it was. It was Midlands or whatever, but I was there. And when he took off that singlet, you just went, oh my God.
Right.
And all the Iowa fans in like 5 seconds, they're standing up, they're going, are you kidding me? Test him. There's no way, and you just, I should start laughing. So I covered this kid. I covered when he lost his against Stephen Neal. I covered him when he beat West Hand. So he would always be good. He would come back. So I'm like, I want to do a story on Brock. And I worked with the Gophers and he stiffs me. I don't get the story with Brock Lesnar, but what does happen is I'm just sitting there in like a normal section. I'm wearing a ball cap. I have glasses on. I haven't been on TV in like 5 years. I haven't done sports in 15 or whatever it is. Multiple people came up to me before the match and at the break and said, hey, it's really great to see you. So excited to see you. We haven't seen you here in a while. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for all you did for wrestling. I'm like, I didn't do anything. But I mean, that was crazy to me, the loyalty and the fact that those people would do something like that. It means a lot.
Well, this is a true story. Like I was telling Al before we went on the air that, so back in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, when I'd get ready for work in the morning, I would tune into Sunrise. If there was a big wrestling event the night before, and it didn't matter if it was, and maybe it was the early 2000s to mid 2000s. It didn't matter if it was a college or high school event, but if it was substantial, you would cover it on the morning Sunrise show. So I could tune in for 5 minutes and actually get some wrestling media, which was non-existent back then other than the guillotine, and I could pretend to watch the other channels briefly, but they would never have anything. So as a huge wrestling fan, it was so hard. There wasn't Facebook, there wasn't Twitter, there wasn't Flow Wrestling. There wasn't anything other than the guillotine, your local newses, your local newspaper. But you were the only guy that would actually take the time. And I'm not kidding. I remember you in 2010-ish, you reported on a Foley versus Malacca duel, which isn't super close to the cities.
Right.
And I just thought, as a wrestling fan, we always, and I'm not the only one, we always appreciated that coverage. The That kind of segues into my next question for you, Tim, here. Did going forward, like the Foley Malacca coverage or something like that, did Care 11, did they just give you the freedom to cover something like that? Or, you know, if you saw a big duel coming up or a stud coming through the ranks, was an outfit like Care 11, they just kind of cut you loose and say, okay, yeah, go ahead.
How'd that work? You kind of got to some extent, you know, pick your stories. So if I knew something was coming up, or if I wanted to go do a story on somebody or something like that, there was nobody who was going to like fight me for that. Their interests lied in other areas. Yeah. And I love all the sports. I mean, at one time I got a call, and it's a mid-afternoon. This is when people, again, used to, you know, you actually answered your phone. And I answered the phone, and I hear this deep voice say, Tim McNiff, please. And I'm like, yeah, this is him. And he goes, Tim, this is J.P. Parisi. And J.P. Parisi had played for the Minnesota North Stars. And I hadn't heard or seen J.P. Parisi. Now his son, Zach, of course, plays for the Wild. And I'm like, yeah, sure it is. Who is this? He goes, this is J.P. Parisi. I go, and I started throwing names back from guys I went to high school and college with who would do something like this. You know, knuckleheads who would pretend to be J.P. Parisi. Yeah. And he goes, Tim, no, this is J.P. Parisi. I want you to come down to Shattuck St. Mary's. And I'm like, what? He goes, we've got a kid here from Canada who you know, they call Wayne Gretzky the great one. They call this kid the next one. And so I went down to Shattuck St. Mary's and did a story on Sidney Crosby when he was 15 years old. They had to get him out of Canada because he had way too much media attention. And his parents were, you know, afraid he was going to get crushed. So they sent him down to Shattuck. And so, like, people do that sort of stuff. And I got to do, like, being in a candy store, get to do all these stories. Well, when the wrestling thing happened, it what really happened was I used to host a show on Saturday nights called the Gopher Sports Extra. And it was before Saturday Night Live. And in the fall, it was about football. And then the winter, it was split between men's hockey. I don't even know if there was women's hockey for that at that time or just starting. And men's basketball. And they sold so many of these episodes. And all the teams were eliminated. Whatever it would have been, 97 or maybe, I think you guys met it, told me 99. The Gophers are going to the NCAA wrestling tournament, and it's at Penn State. And sales comes up to me and says, look, we sold all this stuff. Can you do one more show? And I'm like, gosh, everybody's been done for like a week. What would I talk about? And I go, wait a minute. Would you be interested? The Gophers are going to the NCAA wrestling tournament. They could win it. I said, what if I went to that? And they're like, sure, we don't care. Just can you turn some content for us? I'm like, yes. So I fly in on like Wednesday. You guys, I had never covered it. Never once had been to it, never covered it.
Where next did you fly into?
Oh, God. All I remember was driving forever. So yeah, I don't know, it was Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's the closest place to fly, and they've got a tiny airport at State College, but it's mostly, I don't know if planes come into there or not. It's not a very active airport. But, yeah, you've got to make a flight and a drive to get to Penn State, and there's times when, depending on what route you come through, you can head through some mountains, and the weather's not always great. It could be an adventure.
Yeah, whoever found that place, I mean, how would you know? You know, it's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it is not what I expected at all. But I go in there, and I don't know what's going on the next day. And Billy Pierce, who'd been a heavyweight of some renown for the Gophers, is still on kind of like the coaching staff, and they couldn't get him a pass. And he wants a media pass, and I don't want to give him one because I don't want him pulling our credentials if he gets in trouble. But he ends up, like, totally telling me where to go and what to do. And this whole three-day odyssey was such an agonizing experience that by Saturday afternoon, I'm almost in the fetal position after wrestlebacks that Saturday morning. Right. And there's like 3 points separating Iowa and Minnesota. And Hartung's going to go against who's the kid who always wore his hood over his head?
Lee Fullhart.
And then, of course, we got our heavyweight is going to go against Steve O'Neill from Bakersfield.
Steve O'Neill.
So, yeah, you have to wait till the end of the night to the last two matches. And, of course, Hartung beats Fullhart again. He always beat him. And yeah. And now we need just, you know, half a point from Brock. And he just doesn't shoot. And so they lose. And now I've got to go interview Jay Robinson. Oh. And, yeah, I don't know him. He doesn't know me. And I've got to go into this room at State College of Pennsylvania and interview him for this show.
And they literally just lost the national championship by like a half a point.
Right.
That's right. Just lost. And so I go to him, I said, well, you know, it's typical Minnesota. I'm like, your kids, they battled so hard all weekend. This is the highest finish ever for a Gopher, you know, guys coming back. And, you know, what do you think about your kids' effort? Jay pauses for like 2 or 3 seconds. And he goes, two words. It's unacceptable.
That is him.
Yeah. It's unacceptable. You can't do this, you know. But he just went up, and I was like, I'm listening to him as he goes, he cuts a vein and goes off, and I'm thinking, okay, not since Herb Brooks have I heard anybody in this town, you know, hold their athletes, you know, to a higher standard and say right. That it's not good enough just to be in it. You know, you're supposed to win it. And maybe I should have thrown Tom Kelly in there one time for 87 and 91, I guess, by that time. But after that point in time, you know, I came back from that, and it was like I had letters, not emails, because that was before that, but letters from people just saying we had never had Thursday coverage. We had never had Friday coverage. You know, I know we lost, but the fact that you did that, you know, and everything. So my, you know, it was set for me. And then Apple Valley started to roll, and those were great and fun stories. And I started going to the state wrestling tournament, and that was – people don't get it. I mean, the people that have not – the people who don't know that the NCAA wrestling tournament is the best tournament and that don't know that the state wrestling tournament is better than the boys' high school hockey tournament is because they have never been there.
Absolutely.
100% true right there. That is so, so true. You know, that 99 tournament that you're talking about in Penn State, that was the year Eggum lost to Cale Sanderson in the finals.
Yep.
I don't know if it was the finals. I think it might have been like semis or something. I don't think he actually got to the final, or did he? Because I know one year he met him before that, but did he get all the way to the finals?
I think that was the year. I'm pretty sure that was the year that he lost him in the finals. I know they wrestled a couple times, right?
Eggum actually, he might have gotten knocked out of the front side multiple times by Sanderson, two or three times even in the National Wrestling Tournament.
Yeah.
He couldn't stop that ankle pick.
Yeah,
who could, right?
But
I just remember the frustrating look on his face and him getting rolled over and like looking over at the Gopher corner, and Jesse's, you know, on his stomach and Sanders on top of him, just on his elbow, just putting his hands out like, what do I do? Yeah. You know, I can't stop it.
That was the year they had to, they won two out of those three matches, they win the title. And what, I mean, you picked a heck of a year to go start going, man. That is freaking awesome.
I think the thing that killed him that year was, I hate to put it on one guy, you know, and I won't, but I think Chad Kraft became like the first four-time All-American or the first something like in a long time. And he got into a match that was overtime. And it was when they used to do it just with a flip, and one guy got to try to escape and the other guy tried to hold on, and that was it.
Right.
And he had to escape, and the guy kept dropping down on his ankles, and he couldn't get out. And I know that he went out earlier than they ever thought he was going to go out in that tournament. Because I didn't know that. And when it happened, I remember Billy Pierce got a little ashen and just said, that was not good. You know, we needed and then the guy with the Spider-Man tattoo, Josh Holiday?
Yep, Holiday.
Holiday, yeah. And then he was, you know, this funky thing that, you know, he won a few matches they didn't expect to kind of hold him in it. But, man, it was agonized. I find myself watching wrestling matches. I don't have anybody there I know. I don't have any investment. And my stomach is absolutely clenched. Every muscle, you know, as you're trying to figure out what the wrestler's trying to do to escape or to get the pin or whatever it is. And after the third day of that and the lead going back and forth to Iowa, I'm serious. I was a basket case.
Oh, I bet.
I'm impressed with your memory, man. That is awesome, because that's a really good description of Josh Holiday, because he was so funky.
Right.
Yeah, Crafty, I think, ended up taking like fifth that year. I mean, that's a really impressive. I mean, Tim, I'm even more impressed. I'm even a bigger fan right now because you picked a heck of a –
I'll tell you a good one from 2000. I'm in Sydney, Australia. And so I'm the only one there. And I've got 20-some days of coverage. And so we're close, but not next to the Today Show. And so I'm waiting to go do my thing. It's like 9:30 and it's Sydney, which means it's like 5:30 back here. And always one day ahead. And I've got something planned, but it's nothing, you know, like earth shattering or something like that. And this guy's sitting over there. And I walked over to him. I said, are you going to be here for a while? And he's like, yep. And I said, like, I have to go talk to the people in Minnesota in like 10 minutes. Could I talk to you? And he's like, sure. I go, I'll just be right over here. No problem. He goes, yeah, no, I love it. That'd be great. And so I get on the phone. I call the people back there and I said, hey, little bit of change in plans. We've got a special guest and I'm just going to do an interview. So don't worry about the other stuff. I can run that later. Rulon Gardner sitting there all by himself after he had just upset Karelin, and yes, nobody even knows who he is.
Oh,
I do the whole interview and there's like people to my left and right were like cattle, you know, like lined up into the stalls and you do your live shot. People start listening to me and then they realize it and then they all start coming over. So he did about 10 in a row after that one. But he was sitting there and, you know, he threw out, oh, Dan Chandler and, you know, all these names. And I mean, you know, Rulon, it was great. It was just an honor, you know, just to be able to talk to him after he pulled off one of the greatest upsets in the 20th century.
Maybe the greatest, right? I mean,
yeah.
Not just on paper, but certainly in the picture, right? Everybody who's seen the picture of him standing next to Alexander Karelin knows who was going to win that match, right? But it just didn't play out that way. Rulon gutted it out. He's got a ton of great stories himself, man. You know, from being lost in the mountains on a snowmobile and losing a toe or two. And he's an interesting cat for sure.
Yeah.
And wasn't that Karelin's first international loss?
Yes.
Yeah,
like that. Like, just yeah. What a that's a pretty good interview to pick up.
That's a pretty nice last minute interview to catch.
Improv.
Yeah, he was just sitting there. He was waiting to go on with somebody else, but he was just there early, you know, and he didn't have anything to do. Nobody, people walking by him like he was like a, you know,
trying to figure
piece
out
of furniture,
who, right? Because he certainly didn't look like an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
Okay. So as we, you know, we reminisce and we talk about wrestling and, you know, the so many awesome things that have happened over the years. We really don't have a person like you, you know, running the sports desk or doing the morning anchor at Care 11 anymore, or any major media outlet like that. So what are you doing nowadays?
So I left in 2014 and I went and worked for a PR firm. It was kind of a specialty PR firm. And I worked in more of a sales capacity for them. And the business grew at a really fast rate and things were going pretty good. And then CARE came back and said, would you consider coming back? And I said, well, I don't know. What are you thinking? And they made a real, they made me feel real, very wanted. And I went back and was there for about a month and went and told my wife. I said, yeah, this isn't going to work. And what I had not realized was in the years that I'd been gone, the devastating effect that the cell phone has had on television. And when I was asked to come back, I said to CARE, you're doing it wrong. You're trying to use your television product to get people to go to your social media. What you need to do is you need to create content on your television that drives your social media, that, you know, and you send it out. So people see like a really compelling interview or fun story and they see it on a consistent basis. They'll go, oh, that's like the third or fourth thing I've clicked on that's been really good. Where is that happening? Oh, it's on Sunrise. I should watch Sunrise. And so I felt like they had it backwards. And they, when I was going to go back, that's what they said they were going to do. Somebody had a different idea. It didn't happen. So I started immediately working on my exit. And so we kind of kept reducing my role until basically I went more online than on air and then quietly kind of just walked away. And then I started my own business, Tim McNeff LLC, where I'm a strategic communications consultant. And what I do is try to use what I know about being in the media to help other people get their story and their messages heard. And I had a handful of clients right up until the pandemic hit. And then when the pandemic hit, nobody knew, you know, what was going to happen. They all said, hey, we love you. We feel sorry about this, but, you know, we got to suspend the contract. And I kept saying, I get it. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen either. Look, if you need help with anything, you know, I'm still will help you. But you know, let's not say it's over. Let's just keep in touch and go from there. Well, then I got one more phone call, and it was this little outfit in Little Canada. And they said, look, we're a BME lab in science, and we mostly work with laboratory equipment, but we also sell some products, some technologies. And we've come across something we think is really special, especially now with the pandemic. Everybody's trying to clean with all this stuff, and we think we've got something that people need to know about because everybody literally could use this. And I'm like, well, if I can help you, I will. And they started to educate me about something called SAO, which is stabilized aqueous ozone. And the key word there is ozone, because ozone right now is being used in lights, it's being used in gas. And in this case, as an aqueous applies, it's in liquid form. And stabilized is this, these guys invented technology. It's been known for a long time that aqueous ozone or liquid ozone is nature's sanitizer. It's a natural cleaning agent that's very effective. The problem was people couldn't keep it in a stabilized manner. So it was not really productive to use it as a cleaning agent. Well, this little company in Canada figured out how to do it. And in 2006, I didn't know this, guys. I know you didn't know it either. It was one of Time Magazine's technologies of the year. They did a little home unit where you would spray down in like a bowl your fruits and vegetables and other things that came, you know, and it would take all the pathogens off them. It would take the, if you had apples and they'd been sprayed, you know, it would take the, you know, whatever the fungicide or whatever had been used on the apple and would wash it off. And so it was one of Time Magazine's technologies of the year in 2006, and they had over the years continued to refine it, perfect it, and it made more of an industrial application for it, where they could now produce larger quantities of it, and you could use it as a safe, natural, sustainable cleaner as a replacement for all sorts of chemicals in the home and in business applications. And so when these guys came to me, you know, I was just thrilled that the phone rang and happy to help them if I could. And as I started finding out about this stuff, I had two reactions. I kept saying, number one, this can't be true. This can't be real, because if this was this good and it did all this stuff, I would have heard about it. I would know about it. People would be using it. And the other thing was, is I got to get this. If this is real and true, I got to get this into daycare, and I got to get this into senior care and schools. We got to get kids away from these chemicals. And now, of course, you got the pandemic. Everybody is cleaning more often with hospital grade disinfectant. And hospital grade disinfectant is really good on hard surfaces in hospital rooms where people have access to PPE. It's not so good when you're trying to use it on plastic and rubber and carpet and toys, right? You know, and just think about it. At the end of the day, I mean, if you just think about the amount of spraying and wiping that goes on just at, you know, the big box retailers, now extrapolate that all across the country and then go into all the businesses and everywhere else, all of this cleaning that's going on now all the time, and that excess has to go somewhere at the end of the day. So this is, we can't, you know, the cure can't be worse than the affliction. You know, this can't be worse than the pandemic and the virus. So when I started to get about this and I really became convinced that this was an amazing product, I said, we need to get this in the hands of somebody who people will trust and will believe. Who needs this? And my immediate thought was Pinnacle Wrestling.
Right.
Because here you got these two guys who are as right as rain, champions, and are now turning out elite wrestlers in a community that is absolutely hardcore, in a sport that is absolutely full contact. I mean, you can't not, you know, be a full contact sport and not have issues. And they always had the skin issues and everything. So I called up Brandon and Jared, and they were closed. And I said, I think I've got something that not only can help you, but can help the sport of wrestling. You can ask either one of them. Like in the first 2 minutes I'm in there, I'm explaining the strategy for how this can be used at every meet, at every, you know, mass gathering, and you could spray the wrestlers before the mat, before they get on the mat, and then spray them when they get off the mat, and spray the mat, and do all this, and, you know, you generate it right there. You don't have to go to the store and buy it. It's coming right out of your own tap, and they're going, slow down. You know, I was just, the fire hose was just going off. Because I just really viewed this as, and still, this is why I'm so thankful for this opportunity to be here, you guys. Because if I could wave a magic wand, and I could get this in every school, and I could get this at every level, we could have wrestling this year. Because there's no better way to sanitize, clean and sanitize the mats, clean and sanitize the equipment, clean and sanitize the wrestlers, than using stabilized aqueous ozone. And what I need to do is get it to the people who can bypass the gatekeepers, because there's been a lot of disinformation put out there, and there's a lot of companies with a lot of money who've been telling us for years, this is how you clean. And what we're finding out is, no, maybe it's not.
Right. Well, and, you know, we talked about it a little bit. Josh and I were involved with a wrestling event this summer, Minnesota's number one. We had an outdoor wrestling event where we had 17 matches of high school competitors. We had 9 state champ versus state champ, all sorts of good matches. We cleaned the mat in between every single match with this product. Pinnacle Wrestling was good enough to loan us their equipment for the day. And so we were able to clean the mat with SAO between every single match. And it was great.
Yeah, tell me where you can clean a mat and have kids on it in seconds later, and there's no burning, and there's no issues with what they're rolling around on.
Yeah, I mean, the product doesn't exist, right? So, and that's another thing that's relevant about this is, you can always clean the mat more. They do that at wrestling events anyway. But when you're putting chemicals out there, a lot of times you've got to wait for 20, 30 minutes before those things dry, and there's still dried up chemicals on the mat.
Yes, no, exactly. What you're talking about, and you guys, I knew none of this in March of, you know, this year, is called dwell time. And what that means is, so if you go to the store and you're going to buy a can, you need, your wife sends you a store and says, hey, when you're there, get me Lysol. And you get the Lysol, and what you see in big bold numbers on the side of that can is 99.99% effective. And so you get that can and you go home, and either you or your wife takes that Lysol and you spray it. And right after you spray it, you do what everybody else does. You wipe it. And then you think, you know, you smell it and you're like, I just cleaned with Lysol and it was 99.99% effective. Well, if you actually read the small print, the fine print on the can, you would see that it says, reaches 99.99% after 10 minutes of dwell time, which means it has to sit on top of whatever it is you're cleaning for 10 minutes, and you have to keep it wet the entire time. Who does that?
Well, Josh doesn't even read his email once a month, so his he's going to let a Lysol sit for 10 minutes. There's no chance he's reading the fine print on that.
Zero chance.
So the amazing thing about this is, you guys, this is a product that is technology that takes ordinary tap water, cold water. It starts out as water. When you dispense it, it dispenses because it goes through a machine and an electric stabilizer. It puts an electric charge in it. When it gets the charge, it goes from H2O. It now becomes a new chemical, O3. It's not a chemical as in you bought it from a store. It has just changed composition as an element. So it's a natural, sustainable, 100% natural, 100% safe cleaning substance to use. And you can put out with your dispenser, like you guys saw this summer, and as they have at Pinnacle, like 3.5 gallons in a minute. You know, so, I mean, you can generate as much as you want to. You don't have to go to the store and buy it. You can get as little or as much as you want to from that. And when it goes on, it only needs 1 minute to reach its full efficacy, or 5 log, 99.999% effective. So it's 1.5 times stronger than chlorine bleach, and it works 300 times faster. with no burning, no chemical problems. So we did a video for Pinnacle. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that or not, but Brandon puts on the backpack sprayer and he's walking around spraying the mats. Then he goes over and starts directly spraying. One of them is Emily Shilson and, right. and yep, some other young men who are there. There's no problem with this. You literally could, and we would say should, you know, so it's like if you're wrestling at the Clash, you go weigh in at 8 o'clock in the morning and your team wrestles at 9, you know, so your kid wrestles, well, he's not going back to the hotel. You know, he's going to be there and maybe they take one of those, you know, wipes and they wipe down, but the best thing they could do would be to spray themselves, you know, wait a minute and then wipe themselves down. I mean, you're cleaner than you've been coming out of a shower at that point.
Right.
Well, and I think I'm pretty sure that actually became Pinnacle's protocol this summer was after practice, there would act the kids, they would actually be in a line and they would wait to get sprayed down by one of the coaches, you know, before they walked out of the practice room. It was really nice to see, you know, those guys fighting for a way or finding a way to keep training and give the kids an opportunity to keep wrestling this summer.
Well, I'm kind of excited about, you know, post pandemic. I think this is a pretty simple and straightforward way to get these kids clean without going through a pile of Clorox wipes or baby wipes or whatever. And we can just take another step towards reducing, we'll never probably fully eliminate, but reducing, you know, skin funk, right? We know there was a shutdown in the state of Minnesota a few years back for 14 days when there was a herpes gladiatorium outbreak, right? And
yep.
So they had to shut the whole thing down. And I hate to put you on the spot here, have you tested or has SAO been tested against things like that?
Well, there's not been a lot of those. For SAO, I don't know about that, but for aqueous ozone, there has, but not a lot. And they tested against the herpes virus. There are actually 9 different viruses that make up the family of herpes virus.
Yeah.
And, of course, the most common is the one that results in the sores around the mouth and the lips, and that is transmitted through direct contact.
Yeah.
But what all these herpes viruses share is they're what is called enveloped, meaning that there's an outer layer to the cell. It's got what they call a lipoprotein envelope. And what happens is if you're using a chemical, you're hoping that that chemical lays on top of that envelope and sickens or poisons the virus and kills it. But if it doesn't, that when that poison that you just put down there, when it loses efficacy, it then actually becomes a food supply for the virus. And what instead the aqueous ozone does is it actually attacks the enveloped cell, penetrates it, and then disrupts and kills the virus. So it can't become a food source. So Trisano's pathogen summary shows that SAO has a 4-log or 99.99 reduction of similar enveloped viruses in just 1 minute. Now, the bottom line to this is the science in existing lab studies would suggest that aqueous ozone is highly effective against the herpes family. We do need additional testing. And I have had a conversation with one coach, and he was talking about skin sheets. And I said, you need to be tracking this, but you need to develop a process. You know, if the only way we're really going to get evidence on this is to have you and other coaches who have access to this equipment, once your season starts, you need to be using it every day and in a consistent manner. And then we can say next year, because the COVID virus is going to go away, but the rest of these contact issues are not.
Right.
So, and I've heard them more than one say to us, this should be in every wrestling room, but if the coronavirus never happened, it still should be, if it does cut down or reduce the amount of kids, you know, time kids miss on the mat because of these other issues. So we believe that it will be effective. The studies would suggest that it will be effective. We need more testing.
Sure.
Tim, so we, speaking of more, needing more testing, we know we got this, it's in the wrestling room at Pinnacle. Is it making its way into high school wrestling rooms?
It is. Will Short has put it in his wrestling room. I have to be careful because you get into these schools don't want to say we're necessarily endorsing this, right? It's a new thing and it's a disruptive technology. But I have no trouble saying, I don't know if it's in the wrestling rooms, but it is used throughout the schools at Monticello schools, Buffalo schools, Annandale, St. Michael, Albertville. And specifically this summer, we put it in at Hill Murray, Totino Grace, and St. Thomas Academy. There's a handful of schools up north that are using it as well. But so there was just an article in Wynn Magazine where they talked about, you know, trying to have a season in, at the college level. And Tom Ryan of Ohio State's talking about, you know, using the regional training centers and trying to put like all the Big Ten programs in a bubble and have them wrestling each other, you know, in kind of a condensed schedule to get the matches in and to, you know, make them eligible to have an NCAA tournament. And I know one of the options would be to have it in Iowa City. And so I reached out to Tursano is the manufacturer of this technology. Green Sign Solutions, we're a distributor of the technology. We have an array, an ever-growing field of options in sustainable cleaning and sanitizing equipment. But this is for SAO. It's from a company called Tursano. And Tursano, I've been told, has dispensers in at the University of Iowa, and one of them is in athletics. And I have been trying to obtain information as to whether it's in the wrestling room. And so I have sent emails to both of the brands. You will not be surprised to know that I have not received a reply.
I'm not surprised at all.
They not only do they check email less often than Josh, but they remember you as Tim McNair. It might have been one of them that called you years ago.
Oh man, there are times, you know, remember those matches when they've toned it down so much. But back in the day, I remember one time when Marty Morgan was in the corner and one of the brands was like coming out on the mat, you know, sort of pointing at the certain mat, like, come on, Marty, saying to come on. Marty's like shaking his head, like, are you serious? And you know those guys were about 156 and they would have taken them on right there in the spot. They were nuts.
Oh, absolutely. I saw a clip of one of the brands bumping into Tali Thompson. And it was at, I don't remember, it was a senior level event. And Tali Thompson's like 6'5 or 6'6 from Janesville, Iowa. Great big dude, right? And one of the brands bumped into him and stepped back and was like, I'll take you out. I don't care how big you are. Like, and he was serious. Like those guys, you talk about how, anyway, yeah.
I'm trying to see if I can get, you know, to reach the Big Ten to say, look, again, it's like the message I have to you guys tonight, and anybody who hears this, okay? I'm not doing this really, you know, to try to sell stuff. I really believe, and we really believe at Green Sign Solutions, that this is something that needs to be in every school. And every school that's got it, you guys, not just the ones I mentioned. I mean, so I've been working with these guys since March. And I, just before we did this, we were talking about some things. And I said, you know, have we gotten any returns that weren't like it's a faulty machine and we replaced it for whatever reason? I mean, nobody's come back and said either A, I don't like it, or B, it doesn't work, right? And they're like, no, nobody. We have 100% satisfaction from those people who try it. And there's pushback, but this is a disruptive technology and we can't let, you know, people who made misguided protocols stop us, because kids, we don't know how many kids will get sick from the virus, but we know with 100% certainty that extended and repeated exposure to toxic chemicals will give a bad result for human beings. That we know with 100% certainty. So right. Why would we continue to use this stuff? And you've got a sport here, like I said, where the kids are going to be right on top of each other, and they have to be, and they have to be on the mat. Their face is going to be in the mat and they're going to roll all over it. So we have to get them something that is safe and is effective. And so if there was no coronavirus, you guys, I would still be asking, and I knew what I knew about this product, I would still be asking to come on your show to have this conversation, because I would still say it would make the sport better and safer if everyone was to adopt this and work it into their cleaning protocol.
Well, and the sport's always looking to evolve and find better ways to keep tabs on some of the skin funk and stuff that's out there and the health, you know, the health of the wrestlers. So besides the unit, the SAO dispenser that, you know, mounts to the wall, and you have in the custodian's closet at school or even in the wrestling room, or how about like a handheld unit? Like we talked a little bit off air, Tim, how about like a handheld unit for like an individual to carry along?
So there's a couple things. When you've got that dispenser, and like Willie Short and I were talking about this when he was talking about, you know, should I get this? Because his son Jake had experienced it at Pinnacle. And yeah. Will's like, this stuff's great. I got to have this. And I'm like, absolutely. And here's what you should do. You should give a regular, you know, personal sprayer to every one of your kids. And every day they come into school, it should be filled up and they should just pick it up. And they could spray anything and everything they want to throughout the day as they, whatever they encounter. And that's their best way of keeping themselves clean and the things they encounter, you know, they can keep doing their hands. They can keep using it on their hands. It's not sold as a hand sanitizer, but there have been against lab tests, which showed that it was second only to washing your hands with the bar soap as far as effectiveness in dealing with the matter that your hands, you know, run into. So it can be used in that capacity. At St. Thomas Academy, they fill up about 50 water bottles every morning, and one goes into every classroom. And then at the end of class, one cadet will spray the desks and the other cadet will wipe them behind them. And so the next class comes in after passing time, they've just sanitized that classroom in just that amount of time. Hmm. And so, yes, you can do that. And that's, you know, if you're buying it as a school. If you're looking for this for yourself, or you want to get this perhaps for your favorite wrestler,
yeah,
there is a home model. It is called the iClean Mini. And it is available from Trusano, and we do sell this through Green Science Solutions, and we've got a special promotion I'd like to talk about, you know, whenever that proper time is to do that. But this is, it's a rechargeable unit. It's a, like, about, do you remember the original cell phones that were like really big and awkward and had the, you know, the antenna coming out the top?
Oh, I do.
I call it the Zach Morris cell phone. I remember.
There you go. Without the antenna coming off the top, it's about that size of an old school walkie-talkie or something like that. And it's rechargeable, and you press this button and a charge happens at that time and it starts to dispense aqueous ozone. And so it's got a reservoir at the bottom that you fill up with water, and you can do that throughout the day. And you can carry this with you throughout the day anywhere you want to. And where it's become absolutely indispensable for me, you guys, is when I get home from the grocery store. There's not a fruit or a vegetable that goes into my mouth that I don't douse with this stuff first. And you become hooked to it. This summer, my girls, I have two daughters, and they were making a drive to Montana to look at a college when it was considering graduate school before the next, you know, shutdown. And I sent it with them. And I got home from the store, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to eat this stuff, you know, because I become so psychologically hooked to the fact that if I spray this on there for a minute, I know that it's cleaned that fruit or that vegetable better than anything can, and yet it's still safe for me to eat.
Yeah, you didn't want to spray some Lysol on that banana?
Thought about it, but no.
Right.
So we have these iClean Minis. We got a special promotion for the listeners of your show, and we're going to set up a landing page at greensciencesolutions.com/Alan Josh, and you can get $10 off of an iClean Mini. And I know we have some in stock, so if you wanted to make it a Christmas gift, or perhaps, you know, make sure your wrestler has it before we get back to wrestling, either later this month or early next month, you can do that. And absolutely, this would be something that you'd want to have with them or her, because they can spray their equipment, they can spray their shoes, they can spray themselves, and it's going to take care of whatever's on them.
Well, that's pretty handy. Spoiler alert for some of our listeners, you know, my son is one of the fortunate ones that his wrestling program has the unit, and he'll be able to fill up the water bottle. But my main man, Al here, Al, you might be interested in the iClean Mini, because you maybe won't have that same luxury as Parker won't have that same luxury as Cash this year.
Well, probably not. No. So I mean, I heard about SAO a while back this summer, right, when Brandon and Jared were talking about getting it in, and Jared's talking about this great new product he's got, and how green and clean and safe it is. And I didn't know what it was, and I didn't pay a lot of attention to it at the time. And then I was talking to Coach Mulsoff at Augsburg. And is there some sort of an Augsburg connection to that, to one of these companies?
Well, they're supposed to be. So Jeff Swenson, you know, so right away, because Emily Shilson's there, yep. Chad Shilson, who wrestles with, you know, or coaches with the women's program, right. and Chad knows me because I've done some stories on Emily, and he reaches out to me, and I said, yeah, you know, this stuff's great. You got to get this. And he goes right to Jeff Swenson, and Jeff Swenson, you know, has me come out and I do a presentation for him, and he's all about it. And so he gets his facilities director in there, and we did a presentation for him as well. And that's where it stopped. And that's happened a couple times. And what happens is, you know, these universities and bigger businesses, they have long running contracts right. with chemical companies. So to get them to bring something like this in, you're breaking protocol. And now at a time when a lot of these places, quite frankly, you know, they're concerned. You know, they don't have income coming in. They don't have students, and they don't have, you know, so if you don't have income, how do you go out and buy? How do you convince the administration to spend? Some universities have done it. I mean, some universities have used this as a selling point. Stanford has had this for, I'm fairly certain, more than 5 years. Wisconsin's had it for about 9, and I think Michigan for about a decade. And what they did was they all had internal university initiatives to go green. How were they going to do better, offer a sustainable future for their students? And all of them did extensive testing, and all three of them, independent of each other, landed on SAO. Wisconsin, to the tune of, they have replumbed about a half dozen buildings on their campus where this runs through a separate system than their average drinking water, and it can be dispensed by their custodians without having to carry or transport a bucket and mop or a spray or anything like that from floor to floor. It's on every floor.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. So that, yeah, that's a whole nother level of unit, I suppose, a custom setup for them, but
yes. That one is, because they have, like I said, they've plumbed it, you know, throughout. But Michigan cleans the big house with it. It was funny because the rivalry even lasts, because I was talking to the woman who's in charge of housing in the Billings for Wisconsin this summer. And I said, who had it first? You were Michigan. And she said, well, they had it first, but we use it better. You know, so I thought, okay, I respect that. Okay.
You know, it'll be interesting, because there's I don't know if you've, Tim, if you've heard of like Defense Soap or Defense Wipes. It's a product out there that's, you know, originated with a company in Ohio. It's marketed towards wrestlers, and it's a great product. My kids have had, you know, really good luck with it in, you know, combating skin funk and in all the stuff that goes along with the sport of wrestling. I'd like to get my kids to try this out for the season and see what happens at the end of the year. You know, just, we'll have to keep in touch and report back on it, because, you know, like in Ohio, everyone carries the Defense Wipes,
right?
You know, and they're starting it, like a lot of national youth wrestling tournaments, after, you know, at each mat, when a kid walks off the mat, he has the ability to grab a Defense Wipe and grab it and wipe his skin down, wipe his headgear down. And, you know, they started out as a product to, you know, basically help the sport of wrestling.
Well, and that one's interesting, right? Because when it very first came out, it was marketed as like a barrier that you apply beforehand. So like you would...
Yeah, that was the foam, right?
Right,
foam.
Yeah, you'd put the foam on before you wrestle, the theory being, and I did not look into it deeply at all, theory being that it would provide some sort of a barrier and prevent funk from getting through this defense foam barrier, I guess, during a competition. But they've come out with some other products, but I don't know much about what's in those at all.
The chemistry is.
I couldn't tell you, but I mean, this would be pretty easy to track for me this year.
Right.
You know, because my kid's pretty diligent about his hygiene, and you know, come the postseason, once we get the season going, which we believe we're going to, once we get the season going, I have a wrestler that'll be able to, you know, be, you know, a test, if you will.
Right.
You
know, right. Like a,
so. Yeah. Well, I can't speak to what the chemistry is in those wipes. I don't know anything about them. What we have found is a lot of times it's something that has started as a chemical of some, you know, sort of serious nature and has been diluted down to a form where they think it's, and I'm not saying that it is, I don't know that. That's, we've just encountered that. A lot of times we get in comparisons. Unless you're doing the, you know, putting the charge in the water, and nobody that I've found yet has been able to duplicate Tersanos, what they're doing. I'm sure there's other aqueous ozone out there. I just haven't encountered them yet, but I've only been at this, you know, working with these guys for about 9 months. So for me, it's been an experience where when my head hits the pillow at night, I feel really good about it because I really feel like, you know, we're selling something that people need and the planet needs. And I say all this stuff, you know, and you're going, well, how do you know? You know, how do you know, is it working? So when we went out to Pinnacle and with Brandon and Jared were there and the place had been shut down. So we took this handheld unit that Green Science Solution also has, and it's called the 3M LM1, and it's what they call an ATP meter. And what it does, it measures something called adenosine triphosphate. And what that is, that's a kind of a fancy name for dirt or matter. Every cell gives off energy, dead or alive. And so the matter is on something. So if you went to a restaurant, you could be walking up to a table and it passes the eye test. You look down, you go, oh, it looks pretty clean. And you can take this swab it, and then put it in your 3M LM1 ATP meter, close it up, press a button, and seconds later, it'll tell you how much matter is on that table. Right, it looks like to you, it'll tell you what's really there. So we were at Pinnacle, and we swabbed a mat, and took a reading, and it was 8,000, and 3,000's bad. You know, so 8,000 is on there. Now, the reason why you're going to get a higher reading, generally speaking, with if you're using a chemical, is because chemical leaves a residue. That's what it does. It lays down a barrier, a residue. So we got an 8,000. So we spray the aqueous ozone on there, wait 30 seconds. I'm sure we didn't wait a minute. Wipe the area, wait till it's dry, swab it again. The reading is like 800. Spray it again. The reading is under 200 in two applications. And Paulson and Lawrence are like, okay, we're in. Yeah. This stuff is, that's what it does. It's that good. And just so excited about it. And I knew that, you know, coming here, I hope that people, if anybody remembers, you know, knows that I tried to do right by sports and I tried to do right by news. I tried to, you know, be a person that you could get, you know, impartial, you know, information from, and it was going to be correct. And I'm not here having this conversation, talking about this, if I did not believe in this product and believe that it was going to help wrestling. My vision would be that everybody would have access to this, and you could literally get on your team bus with empty bottles, go into the next gym, fill up your bottles with SAO, and be ready to spray yourself, your teammates, your equipment, you know, before your match, after your match. And by the time you go home and take a shower, you know, you know that you've sanitized yourself. And I just believe that this is going to help a lot in the transmission area. The LM1 verifies that, you know, the process works. And, you know, so Willie Short has been, and I know he goes by Will now. I always want to call him Willie because of covering him and knowing him as a wrestler.
Yeah.
He has said that if you are hearing this and you are interested in finding out more, and you don't want to hear from me, but you want to hear from someone who is actually using this, has it with his wrestlers, has it in his wrestling room, and what he thinks about it, you can do that. And you can do that by reaching out to him on Gmail at William Short. Are you ready for this? 007@gmail.com.
Ooh,
I like
William
it.
Short 007 at gmail.com. And he will make time, and he'll talk to you about his experience with SAO. He's had it for a couple months, and he can speak for himself, but I will quote you the last conversation we had. He said, this should be in every wrestling room in America.
Awesome.
You know, and with full disclosure here, this is not, my son wrestles for Coach Short. This is not a Coach Short plug. I mean, literally, he texted me yesterday and he said, I heard you have Tim McNiff coming on your show. And he goes, just so you know, we got that. We have that system for this year. And I said, yeah, you covered it. They had a team meeting through Zoom, a month ago. And it was a parent and wrestler meeting, just kind of where we're at, where we're going. And he touched on it and he said, you know, so along with, you know, the protocol, the COVID protocol that they were going to follow with wrestling pods and the stuff that went into the, and practice partners and the stuff that went into that. And he mentioned it, but you must've talked to him in the last day or two and let him know you're coming on the Alan Josh show. And it's just kind of a small world that it's, you know, in the last 24 hours gone full circle, that turns out I got a wrestler that's in that room. So this is not a plug from, you know, Simley Wrestling or anything like that. That just, it really just happened organically.
Yeah. Well, and like I say, I kind of started to get into it before, early this spring. I had never heard of SAO. Pinnacle got it. I heard about it, but didn't know much about it. And then when we used it at Minnesota's number one, I started doing a little bit more reading and research, and I'm like, this is legit. You know, my first question, I'll be brutally honest with you, Tim. My first question is this some sort of snake oil, right? Like, mm-hmm. how can water do this, right? But I'm no chemist. I haven't taken a chemistry class for quite some number of years. But everything I've read is great and positive. And I'm excited about not just trying to get through COVID, but I think this is an outstanding option moving forward during COVID, but as importantly, beyond COVID, just for keeping our wrestlers clean between matches without wiping them down with chemical after chemical after chemical.
No, it's 100% true. You know, that's exactly what it is. And you think about it, I mean, we're talking wrestling, and I touched on this a little bit earlier, but, you know, very well-intentioned people put together plans for how to have school in-person learning and how to clean daycares. Mm-hmm. And they're telling them, they're mandating them that they use products that you can't find one on that list of approved products that is safe to use around a child. Not one. So how do you clean more often during high traffic times of the day and high touch areas and not be negatively affecting kids? And I did a Zoom webinar with three custodians from public schools up north who are all using this. And all three of them said, you know what, we couldn't be happier with it, and we couldn't feel better about it, because we just know that it's safe for us. I mean, you know, we've got to work with it. You know, we don't have to mix any chemicals. We won't have to go to the store and buy. And there's part you can't avoid, but you don't want to make it your number one selling thing too. It's also saving money, because those chemicals are expensive.
Right.
And, you know, and you're buying stuff that you know it's not going to end well. And there's got to be mixing. And if a person does it wrong, or if a kid gets exposed to it, and we've seen, you know, if you've looked on social media, babies who sat in carts at stores, or kids who put their arms on desks and got burns. And right. And there's some kids who have sensitivities who can't be in school at all when you're using that stuff. So they're already distance learning. But I so believe in this. And it's been amazing to me that the pushback we've gotten is from people who just are reading, this is what the state says we have to do. I have to use something that's from this. Well, look, no, this is an EPA-approved device. It's the same thing. It's like looking for the twin score in the variety section. You know, you're not going to find it. You have to be aware that you can find this in another area. So this is something where the EPA has gone into testing, the lab where this stuff was being created, has seen what the testing protocols are, has put it through the same hurdles, and has said, yes, this is an effective, approved EPA technology. But so many people just hear, well, I don't know anything about technology. I just know that I'm supposed to have something from List N. But we're not on List N, nor do we aspire to be on List N, because there's nothing on List N that is not toxic. And we are anything but toxic.
Awesome. So if our listeners, let's say a coach from, we've got wrestlers, coaches, parents, fans. Let's say we got a wrestling coach from southwestern Minnesota that's interested in the product. What's the easiest way for him to track it down, get more information, or even if he just wants to purchase one, if he's ready to pull the trigger, what's the best route for somebody to go?
GreenScienceSolutions.com. And right there, the first thing you're going to see is SAO's, the first product on our website. Now we're starting to get into sanitizing lights and other products. And so I don't know how much longer that will be, but that has been the flagship since this company has been formed. So right there, you're going to see that. And then there's, any sort of click on right there to get a conversation. All the information is there. We've done videos. You can look at our videos. We've got a video on there of Pinnacle Wrestling. And we went to Pinnacle and have Brandon and Paulson talking about it, spraying the mats, spraying the wrestlers, and talking about how it's an integral part of what they're doing. So, yep. And if you are interested in that, so just to go right to greensciencesolutions.com. If you are interested in the iClean Mini for yourself or your favorite wrestler or your home or your office, that can be found, and you get a $10 off promotion if you use greensciencesolutions.com/Al and Josh. So that's a special promo for you there. And again, I just got to throw it out there one more time, because I laughed out loud when he told me what his Gmail account was. If you need to hear from somebody who's using this in the same capacity as you as a coach, and somebody who's using the main dispenser, WilliamShort007@gmail.com.
Awesome. Yeah, a little quick shout out here. Josh wouldn't do this, but Simley was just named the number 2 high school program in the country. Some national rankings just came out, and that's as high as I can remember a Minnesota school being ranked for quite some time. So they're keeping the kids safe with the Green Science Solution and SAO, but they're also doing the right things on the mat.
Hey, and he says his number one thing is, of course, he needs to keep that talented lineup, on the mat. He can't lose them to skin sheets. And that's what, so I said, you really need to develop a protocol. So push him on that. If you talk to him, just to say, hey, what are we doing to, so I really want these kids to be spraying themselves before practice, spraying themselves after practice, and just making that a regular thing. Because, I want him to tell me this year that his skin sheets were under 10. I mean, is 10 to 30 kind of like about an average range in a given year?
Yeah, I mean,
40?
Yeah, that's probably a reasonable range for Simley.
You know, I couldn't tell you. Al, that would be, you got a little more experience just tracking numbers and,
Well, better. A lot of that doesn't come out publicly, right? Like you go to a tournament or a duel or whatnot, and there's a kid not wrestling, and you're not really sure why. Sometimes someone's got a twisted ankle or a bum back, or they didn't get their schoolwork done, or maybe they've got some skin funk. You don't always hear about that, but the coaches certainly know it and should be tracking it for sure.
That's what we want is maybe that's incumbent upon, us to reach out to some of the schools where we know that it's there, and to see if they are using it, and to get them to do that. Cause if we can get 3 or 4 of them to track that throughout the season, and that if it works the way we think that it's going to, that'll be a compelling story to be able to tell people heading into next year.
Right. Best case scenario, they've been tracking it for a while and are comfortable sharing those numbers so we can see the delta, right? Like, here's how we've been trending for the last 3 or 4 years. All of a sudden we put this system in place and dropped from 32% to 14% or incidents or however they track them. But hopefully people are keeping track of that.
Yes, that would be ideal, because we know that COVID is gonna, at some point it's gonna let go and we're gonna get past it. But the sport is still gonna have issues, and we know that there's companies that have been out there a long time and well-intentioned. I'm not saying anything is anybody else's product, but I just have not run into anything, you guys, whether it's been at a school, at a daycare, at a you know, major business, that I haven't run into anything yet that does what this product does in the eco-friendly, sustainable manner that it does. And we'll certainly all be better off if more people can find out about this and can create a better, safer, verifiably effective cleaning process going forward.
Well, that sounds awesome. Would you be willing to come back on the show maybe this spring, early summer, touch base and just see how it kind of see if we got some results from the season, how it went?
You guys let me know. You put out the call, put out the bat signal, whatever it is, I'm there. This has been a blast. I honestly could talk. I have so many wrestling stories just even covering it that I haven't even scratched the surface on tonight. So I could bore you for hours.
Okay. So before we part ways, we got a couple questions for you. Cool. Al, you got to lead with we were talking barbecue stuff, like, you know, poultry, being around, you know, getting ready to smoke a chicken. So, you know, this is not wrestling related. It's not exactly COVID related. It's just
I was looking like on the iClean Mini, right, on that page, and they mentioned things like Salmonella and E. coli and great effectiveness against that. Josh and I and some of our buddies are big into barbecue, whether it's smoking or grilling and whatnot. And I'm like, that would not be a bad thing to have at the outdoor prep station, right? To just quick clean up that stuff, cutting boards and grill surfaces. And like Josh has got a big fancy grill that's got a great big counter built on the front of it. And it sounds like that iClean Mini would be ideal for that sort of a situation to clean those things up.
100%. And here's how stupid I am. So I start doing this on all the fruits and vegetables and everything. And then, of course, I take a knife and I cut them up. And then I've been doing this for months. And then somebody's talking and they said, well, you sanitize the knife first, don't you? Of course I do. Yeah.
Right.
Doesn't everybody? Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's just, that's the simplicity of this thing, guys. You'll never find anything that's easier. Yeah, I just take out my iClean Mini, I point it at it, press the button, it dispenses it, spray the other side. I let it sit there. You know, I pick it up again in 30 seconds or a minute, I wipe it off, or I don't. I could go cut right into it with it as it is. I don't need to take it off. So it absolutely is ideal for a situation that you're asking about.
Very cool. So then my question is... I swear I remember watching the news in like the 2001, if I remember right, it's 2001 NCAA, the Gophers, the 10 All-American year. I'm pretty sure that was 01, right? Tim, I remember you, I swear you were in the stands reporting with the fans, the Gopher fans down there. How much fun was that year at the NCAA tournament?
So what you learn about the whole thing was that was a roller coaster too. And this is my ignorance of the sport at that time, because you'll remember we had 10 wrestlers unbeaten going into Friday. And at the end of Friday, we had nobody in the finals. And yeah, when the guys hit All-American status, all 10, the Gopher crowd stood up. And this is in Carver, Hawkeye. And they stood up and they went 10, 10, 10 with their fingers, you know, all doing 10 fingers. First time ever, 10 All-Americans. And when the last Gopher fell Friday night, the Carver Hawkeye crowd got up and they said, zero, zero. And I mean, I was like dragging, like this is a disaster. And again, back to Jeff Swenson. So Jeff Swenson pulls me aside and he said, what are you going to say? And I'm like, what do you mean what I'm going to say? This is like the Titanic, right? It is sunk. He goes, no, they're going to win the championship. I'm like, what do you mean they're going to win the championship? Everybody lost. He goes, no, no, no. They're going to pick up enough points in wrestlebacks tomorrow where they'll clinch it before the championship session even begins. Mark my words, whatever you do, don't go on air tonight and make it sound any worse than it is. And so I like said, okay, I barely know this guy, but he seems to know what he's talking about. Yeah. So I went on the air that night and I said, everybody lost, but here's the deal. Look for the Gophers to still win this championship. I didn't say that he told me. I took full credit for it, right? Nostradamus here.
Absolutely.
But here's what the crazier story from that one. So I'm in Carver Hawkeye. There is not like any place for me to do like a reporter track where you would, like, I've got a photographer who's shooting all the video, and I would say, like, okay, 141 pounds, Manny Ramirez comes up with a takedown here. He wins this match 4-2 to advance to the semis. At 149 pounds, Jared Lawrence. Well, I need to track that. And so I go to the Iowa people, and I'm like, is there like a room that I could go in to just do this? It would just take me, you know, what, 5 minutes? I'd be in and out, blah, blah, blah. So they open up a room, and I walk in the room, and the photographer's setting up. And while I'm waiting, I'm looking around the room. I am not kidding you guys. I am in freaking Dan Gable's office. And I'm about to track how the Gophers are winning the NCAA tournament over Iowa in Dan Gable's freaking office. And, of course, right when we finish, we open the door. Who's standing on the hallway to get into his office?
Right.
The man, the myth, the legend himself.
Oh, awesome.
That is incredible. You know what my favorite, probably my personal favorite part of that tournament was? Iowa, they had 4 out of their first 5 weights wrestle in the finals, and they still couldn't beat the 10 All-Americans, right? So like a buddy of mine, Jody Stripmatter, I think he beat Leroy Vega in the semis.
And beat Vega.
Yeah, he's freaking, it was just a bad matchup for Vega.
He was like a praying mantis. He was like 6 feet tall and 125 pounds. How does that happen?
Right. Yeah, and Leroy was not. Leroy was
the
opposite, right? Like, but so they had, you know, I think everyone except for Zadik made the finals. Zadik ended up taking 3rd, right? So 4 out of their first 5 weights made the championship. Zadik took 3rd, so the first 5 weights placed in the top 3.
Still didn't win a title.
Still didn't win it in Carver Hawkeye Arena.
In Carver Hawkeye, Jay going back and, you know, winning his first championship, you know, there. And that one was, you see how much fun it was, but you know what? It was, or maybe that wasn't the first, because I'm trying to remember, because that one was the best, because nobody got to the championship. So when they won the team title at the party that night, everybody was in a reasonably good mood. Other years, you would go to that party and they won the national championship, but say a kid had lost in the finals or something like that, right, and they were bawling. You know what I mean? They were inconsolable. So it was like so hard that you never had everybody happy at the same time.
And it's never happened since, right? 10 weights, 10 All-Americans. It's a standing rate. It's kind of like the, you know, the Dolphins being undefeated, right? They like to celebrate when the last undefeated team loses every year in the NFL.
The Gophers, great champagne.
Right, exactly. The Gophers had 10 All-Americans, and I actually think it adds a ton to the mystique that they had no champions or even finalists, right? Because it wasn't like, yeah, they had 10 All-Americans and won a title, but they had these two guys that were so good, they won titles and pinned everybody. It was just 10 guys doing their job, scoring their points, and the team title came with it. Super cool story.
Yeah, well, it was a nightmare watching that Friday night session. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I think they won. Yeah, they had a rough semis, like rough semis. 0-5, 0-6, something like that in the semis. But that was their first national championship. It was the first one they won, and they did it without a national champion, without someone in the finals. Right. I mean, you're a lucky man, and we appreciate you being there, because I got to follow along through your reporting. That was awesome.
Well, it was truly a labor of love. It was fun to go to those things, and the people in the wrestling community has been so good to me. And it's fun to come in here and do this. Love to come back anytime, you guys. And so thank you so much for allowing us to talk about, Green Sign Solutions. You know, this is something that we really feel is going to benefit the kids. And that's what it's all about. If we can keep the kids on the mat and keep them going and give wrestling, you know, a better process going forward, we'd be, nothing would make us happier.
Right. Hey, I got one last thing for you here, Tim. Josh likes to make, so I'm not originally from Minnesota. He likes to make fun of me about my knowledge or lack thereof of like outstate schools and what their mascots and whatnot are. If you're a White Bear Lake guy, right?
I am.
And Josh, do you know what his mascot was in high school when he played football and basketball?
Wasn't the Bears?
So Josh says the Bears. Is that correct, Tim?
It is not. That is incorrect.
Close. That's not even close, Josh.
This,
Raymond.
This son of a gun.
You don't know how rare this is for me to be able to pull one over on Josh. He does this to me all the time. I'm super happy about this.
If you could see the pride in his face right now, Tim, he is so happy.
You see the smile on my face because anytime I get to mention my high school, which lasted for 9 years, it's now South Campus in White Bear Lake. They have 9th and 10th graders at the North Campus, which was White Bear Senior High. But in 1972, or right about then, maybe 73 or 74, they opened up White Bear Mariner. And they named it, again, a playoff of White Bear Lake, Mariner. Okay. And they were looking for an aquatic. They could have been anything, but they were looking for an aquatic theme. And as you guys just mentioned, the 72 Dolphins had run the table and won a couple Super Bowls, and we picked whoever was voting picked the Dolphins as our mascot. So in landlocked northernmost Minnesota, we were the Dolphins.
Oh my. Awesome. I was totally set up here by this. I'm going to get him back for this because there is impressive trivia right there.
You made my night. That is so great. I can't wait to go on the Facebook page and just say, hey, you were a trivia question on a podcast I was on. This is fantastic.
I can admit when I was wrong. It was not the Bears. It was the Mariner Dolphins.
That's right.
That's okay. Right. All right. Well, I think that's probably a good point to end on, unless you have anything else.
I can't thank you guys enough. This was so much fun.
Yeah, we had a blast. We really appreciate you coming on, and we will definitely drag you back on here to talk about more old-time wrestling stories and how things are going with Green Science Solutions and SAO as well.
I love it. Thanks so much, you guys. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, another great podcast. Great podcast. Time for the end of show wrap. Minnesota Wrestling representing. Alan Josh is the podcast show. Just two guys that's in the know. Bringing the wrestling news episodes. You can sit and listen or hear on the go. Voices is smooth, podcast is free. Many platforms for downloading. Minnesota Wrestling. Alvin, Josh, Raymond report the scene. High school, college, women, youth. Minnesota Wrestling is for you. Live from the kitchen, I'm your studio too. Can't wait for the next one. Stay tuned.